Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Friday. It has been a busy week. We've had President Trump's first State of the Union address. There's been all sorts of bills that have been introduced in the Iowa legislature. But today...
Release the Kraken!
Release the memo! Well, the memo has been released. Brian Myers, a senior contributor at CaffeinatedThoughts.com, and I discuss the Nunez memo that was released today. The House Select Committee on Intelligence voted to release it. President Trump approved its release. So we discuss that, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And we're back. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Brian Myers about the hotly contested Nunez memo. Well, Brian, they released the memo.
They did indeed.
So what are your initial thoughts? Well, first of all, I guess
Yeah, we better introduce the subject a little, I guess. Huh?
Right. Just if you've been living in a cave and have not been paying attention, there's been this debate over a memo that was written by the chair of the House Select Committee on Intelligence, David Nunez. Byron York actually provides a pretty good summary, I think, of the key points in the memo, which is several pages long. And when the podcast is put up, I'll have a link to the memo. I have it uploaded to Caffeinated Thoughts. It says, first of all, the Steele dossier formed an essential part of the initial and all three renewal FISA applications against Carter Page. Andrew McCabe, who was deputy director of the FBI, confirmed that no FISA warrant would have been sought from the FISA court without the Steele dossier information. The four FISA surveillance applications were signed by, in various combinations, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Sally Yates, Dana Biante,
I don't know how you say that.
And Rosenstein. The FBI authorized payments to Steele for work on the dossier, and the FBI terminated its agreement with Steele in late October when it learned by reading an article in Mother Jones that Steele was talking to the media. The political origins of the Steele dossier were known to senior DOJ and FBI officials, but excluded from the FISA applications. And then DOJ official Bruce Orr met with Steele beginning in the summer of 2016 and relayed to the DOJ information about Steele's bias. Steele told Orr that he, Steele, was desperate that Donald Trump not get elected president and was passionate about him not becoming president. So the FBI and the Justice Department, they mounted a months-long effort to kind of keep this memo from being released, or keep the information outlined in the memo out of the committee's hands. Only under threat of contempt charges and other forms of pressure did the FBI and the Justice Department give up the material, which is mind-boggling to me with the Justice Department, other than the fact, I guess, Attorney General
Sessions.
Jeff Sessions recused himself, so he's probably not getting involved in all this. You know, how this is Trump's DOJ, and it's like they're fighting this.
Well, and no doubt that's why Trump was so furious when Sessions recused himself. He realized that his own DOJ was not going to have any influence with regard to this matter.
Right. So once the committee leaders and staff compiled some of that information in the memo, then York writes, the FBI and Justice Department, supported by Capitol Hill Democrats, mounted a ferocious campaign of opposition, saying the release of the memo would endanger national security and the rule of law. But Intelligence Committee Chairman David Nunes never wavered in his determination to make the information available to the public. President Trump agreed, and as required by House rules, gave his approval for the release, because essentially the House recognizes that the president, and this is stated actually in a letter prior to the memo, that which is totally not redacted, the president has the authority to classify and declassify information. And then York finally writes, finally, the memo released today does not represent the sum total of what White House investigators have learned in the review of the FBI and Justice Department Trump-Russia investigation. That means, you know, this is like just the kind of tip of the iceberg.
What they follow up with here.
Right, right.
I mean, it strikes me on the one hand that this was not quite the equivalent of a nuclear bomb. On the one hand, I would have expected, for example, I was expecting to hear something in this memo about Paul Manafort and surveillance that spilled over into Trump Tower, things like that. That's nowhere to be found in this.
Well,
I suppose it could come later.
I was going to say, I think to forthcoming. That's a sequel, maybe.
Okay.
I thought this was interesting. I know some people who were not Trump allies were focused on. Oh, let me pull up the memo itself here. We're focused on the disclosure of who signed the FISA
the warrants or the applications.
Yeah, the applications. Yeah. For instance, one person thought, well, Rod Rosenstein was just thrown in there. There's questions about whether the White House worked with Congressman Nunes in writing the memo. Nunes didn't necessarily deny it. The FBI, let's see, pull up their statement from yesterday. Said the FBI takes seriously its obligations to the FISA court and its compliance with procedures overseen by career professionals in the Department of Justice and the FBI. We are committed to working with the appropriate oversight entities to ensure the continuing integrity of the FISA process. With regard to the House Intelligence Committee's memorandum, the FBI was provided a limited opportunity to review this memo. Or to review this memo the day before the committee voted to release it. As expressed during our initial review, we had grave concerns about material omissions of fact that fundamentally impact the memo's accuracy. The minority members of the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence in the House released a statement too, saying basically that this is a shameful effort to discredit these institutions, undermine the special counsel's ongoing investigation, undercut congressional probes. Furthermore, their refusal to allow release of a comprehensive report response memorandum prepared by committee Democrats is a transparent effort to suppress the full truth. Actually, Speaker Ryan has called for the release of the Democratic memo.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what they're saying here. Unless the Intelligence Committee voted against it. I think, and I agree with that. I think they need to, I think their memo should be released. Because I think it's, you know, I think Americans deserve the full truth.
Go ahead.
Well, I understand national security implications, but that could be used. That's used oftentimes on a broad brush to try to prevent anything from being disclosed. And, you know, I reject the FBI statement on this basis that, first of all, you know, the FBI has a pretty colorful history,
to say the least.
And to think that we need to give blind trust to the FBI, you know, I'm sorry, they don't deserve that. I'm not talking about every single person, you know, in the FBI. I think the rank and file are hardworking. They're dedicated people. They're committed to the job they're tasked with. I think they're people of integrity, but they still need oversight. And that not just by the House, you know, Committee on Intelligence, but we the people. I think we do have a right to know. And frankly, I don't think there was anything in that memo that sacrifices national security or their how, you know, revealed anything about how they go about, you know, investigating.
No, I think frankly it just makes them look bad.
Right.
To be perfectly honest with you, based on what I've seen so far, that's all it does. It just looks stinky. And the reason it looks stinky is because it is stinky.
And
you're exactly right, Shane. You know, somebody has to rein in our intelligence communities from time to time, or they certainly should. I mean, that's one of the things that makes our republic what it is that you don't, you know, as opposed to, you know, Russia or communist China or whatever, where the people are scared to death of their own government.
Right.
Somebody needs to be making sure that our civil liberties remain intact.
So, yeah, right now, in terms of this memo, the GOP talking point is, you know, looking at CC. They used the Steele dossier, which is unverified information that was paid for by the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton campaign. I had a friend of mine that made the point, it's like, who cares who paid for it if it's true? I agree with that. If it's accurate information, I don't think it matters. The source really matters all that much. However, I guess what I have a problem with, and if this isn't true, then I think the FBI needs to come forward and the Department of Justice needs to come forward and release the FISA warrant applications, or get President Trump to release, declassify the FISA warrant applications to show that they did include this information in their FISA warrant application. If this isn't a big deal, where it comes from and how it was launched, and if it's not a big deal that the FBI paid Christopher Steele along with the, you know, him receiving money from Fusion GPS and the other source, include, you know, let a judge decide that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, look, I got a big problem. I kind of see where you're coming from relative to, you know, it doesn't really matter who paid for it if it's true. The problem is, I think, I mean, based on what I'm piecing together here, now what do I know? I literally live 25 yards from a cornfield in Iowa, okay? I'm not wired into the Washington, D.C. community. But as I piece this thing together, it appears to me that this was opposition research in its infancy, mm-hmm. that at some point the FBI finds out about it, and my guess is they were probably told by somebody in the DNC or the Clinton campaign. Somebody told somebody in the FBI, and the FBI then started apparently financing the research. For me, that's just stunning. I mean,
yeah,
certainly you would expect that if the FBI is going to be paying somebody for their work on an issue like this, then you better make darn sure that what you're paying for is the real deal. And the reason why I suspect that it wasn't the real deal is is the way that the FBI themselves spoke of the dossier. In January of 2017, this is a quote from NBC News from January, I think, 11th of last year. Quote, according to the senior official, and that's a senior official in the intelligence community, I'm assuming the FBI, the two-page summary, and that was a summary prepared based on the dossier, which is like some 35 pages or something.
Yeah.
About the unsubstantiated material made available to the briefers was to provide context, should they need it, to draw the distinction for Trump between analyzed intelligence and unvetted, quote unquote, disinformation. Now, this is this is speaking of a meeting that took place early on in January of last year. And what I find striking about this quote from NBC News is apparently the FBI told the Trump people that their two-page summary, which they just gave an oral report on, and had NBC News verified they did not give either the dossier or the summary to the president, but they gave an oral report and called the two-page summary an example of unvetted, quote-unquote, disinformation.
Hmm.
Now think about this.
Right.
They have used, because this was long after they had used the dossier to get the FISA warrants. They had paid for this, used it to obtain FISA warrants, and now in a meeting with the President of the United States, Comey or somebody there, I'm assuming Comey, communicated to the President-elect that this was, quote-unquote, disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it strikes me that that is a flat-out lie.
Right. Right. Yep. Well, and you know, my point, too, going back to the FISA warrant applications, if the source didn't matter, if him getting paid by the FBI as well as having received money from Perkins Coal and Fusion GPS didn't matter, why not include that in the FISA warrant? Why were they hiding that information? Why didn't they disclose that information? And if they actually did disclose that information, then I think the FBI is, you know, they're obligated to release that information proving that.
Right.
They need to explain why the FISA court was kept in the dark about that.
Well, those were the things that there were three things that really jumped out at me in my cursory examination of the memo. Is it first of all that all four times that FISA applications were made in the Carter Page case. So the initial application and the three subsequent renewals, all four times the dossier was an essential part of that. And then number two, that the FBI authorized payments to Steele for his work on this dossier.
Yeah.
That blew me away when I saw that.
Right.
I don't think that anybody knew that up until now. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps that information was out there. I certainly was unaware.
I can't say I was necessarily following this all that closely before.
Last but not least, your last point, which is that the origins of the dossier being opposition research funded by the Clinton campaign, that was excluded from the applications. It was not disclosed to the FISA court. That's another bombshell.
Yeah, they should have let the court decide whether or not that's relevant.
That's exactly right.
So they didn't give them full information, which they should have. This obviously begs the question. Well, I guess before we move on, I started reading through the Steele dossier. Because I was kind of curious what he said about Carter Page, because it's been a long time since I looked at this. And the first instance on page seven, I believe, if you're not familiar with the Steele dossier, it's basically a series of 17 memos that Christopher Steele, a a former MI6, which is the British spy agent or intelligence agency, compiled. So it's not just one document. Essentially, it was a series of 17 memos. So if you weren't sure, also Carter Page, if you're not aware, he was the foreign policy advisor to the Trump camp, or one of the foreign policy advisors to the Trump campaign. First instance of Carter Page being mentioned. Speaking in confidence to a compatriot in late July 2016, Source E, an ethnic Russian close associate of Republican U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump, admitted that there was a well-developed conspiracy of cooperation between them and the Russian leadership. This was managed on the Trump side by the Republican candidate's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, who was using foreign policy advisor Carter Page and others as intermediaries. The two sides had a mutual interest in defeating Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, whom President Putin apparently both hated and feared. So, Source E. That was probably some of the initial information used to obtain the FISA warrant.
Well,
okay. You know, he could have just been totally making that up, as far as we know.
Yeah, I got a real problem with this. I mean, maybe it'll come out that there was information as part of that dossier that was credible. You can bet the Democrats will be doing their best to show that, but certainly what I've seen so far just really, really smells bad. And yeah. I can see why the FBI did not want this released.
Right. Well,
I mean, the fact that they didn't disclose the origins, you know, of the work, they didn't disclose that apparently to the FISA court, actually started paying for work on it at some point in 2016. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, you know, that where is this? I'm trying to find it here.
Well, Christopher Steele admitted to having bias to the Department of Justice. And I'm curious, you know, he was terminated by the FBI because he outed himself to the media. But what I wonder is, had they known, did they know about his bias prior to that? I would have been more concerned about his bias than outing himself to the media, frankly.
Sure. I mean, if I can press one other point, and that's just the fact that here they are paying for this work, and they've gotten the FISA warrants based on this work. And then they have a meeting in January with the president-elect and tell him that it's mere disinformation.
Right.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
That is incredible. 2 points I want to make before, and we can wrap this up. One is the Democratic's point that, let's see. Oh. They said the Republican document mischaracterized highly sensitive classified information that few members of Congress have seen, which Chairman Nunes himself chose not to review. It fails to provide vital context information contained in the DOJ's FISA application renewals and ignores why and how the FBI initiated and special counsel had continued its counterintelligence investigation into Russia's election interference and links with the Trump campaign. It's somewhere further down the statement, but they said the investigation into Carter Page started before the Steele dossier. And I'm like,
okay,
that doesn't matter. That really doesn't matter. For one thing is, you don't really need to have a whole lot to start an investigation. You could just have a mm-hmm. hunch and start an investigation. That doesn't prove jack squat. Obviously you need to have burden of proof, probable cause and things like that in order to get warrants and further the investigation. But starting the investigation, you could have just hardly anything at all when you start an investigation. That, you know, so I don't know why do you think that's some sort of silver bullet talking point?
Right. Right. That doesn't make the problem go away.
Right. And two, this also brings up kind of, it's related, but it's broader than this whole, memo. And that's the use of FISA warrants on American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, for our listeners who may not be aware of what FISA means, it's Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I have no problem with, you know, our counterintelligence services monitoring foreign agents. We're starting to really step all over. I think Senator Rand Paul and others are right that this really runs kind of roughshod over the Fourth Amendment.
Well, yeah, I mean, it as we were talking earlier in our conversation, you know, this brings up all sorts of questions relative to our civil liberties.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no small thing.
So
that's another reason why this just stinks so bad. You know, the fact that they were able to get these FISA warrants based on what from their own characterization of the dossier, it was disinformation. I mean, think about that. It may not have been the bomb that some people characterized it as, but there's enough here to definitely be an eye opener on a number of subjects.
Right, right, and I think the FBI needs to explain itself.
Frankly. Absolutely.
So, hey, we could talk about this probably for quite a while.
We didn't even get into the whole business of James Clapper, you know, denying that you know there'd been any surveillance that could have taken place at Trump Tower and that he would have known about it if it had taken place, and then we found out, well, whoops, my bad.
Yeah.
there may have been some surveillance there, but I didn't know about it.
Yeah, right.
I was hoping that might come out in this memo, but it didn't.
Right. So on one hand, you know, I think the Russian investigation needs to continue. I do think there needs to it needs to come to some. I don't obviously can't set a timeline on it, but this can't go on forever. He needs to bring it to some sort of conclusion, either fish or cut bait.
Well, and you know what's going to happen, Shane. Alan Dershowitz has been saying for months that one of the problems that they're having here is they can't just say, you know, Trump colluded with Russia. Well, what does that mean? He has to come up with a specific charge of a violation of a specific statute. And according to Dershowitz, there isn't one.
Right.
So that's going to be a problem. But what'll happen is they'll drag this thing on forever, and they'll eventually get some guys for process crimes and so on. You know, perjury, like in the case of Michael Flynn.
Right.
You know, those are the kinds of things that will get caught up in this net. But at the end of the day, there will be, in my estimation, based on what little I know about all this, I admit I am no legal expert. But what it strikes me as, you know, is a situation in which there will be, you know, no what the Democrats are looking for is a statute that's been violated, in which they can say, see there, that gets us to high crimes and misdemeanors, and we can impeach him. Right. It's not going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. I think they would have that information already. I mean, this has been an ongoing investigation for quite a while.
Well, and you know what? They would have leaked it too. This administration has been fighting leaks since before it got into place.
And that's another point too. The FBI has a problem with the House Intelligence Committee declassifying its memo, but yet it said nothing. It's made absolutely no statements about their own officials.
Oh, that's perfect. I didn't even think about that, Shane. That's beautiful.
So it's like
they are leaking like a sieve.
Right. Clean up your own act first before you criticize members of Congress who are trying to be transparent before the American people.
Now, oh, that's perfect.
Now, again, for full transparency, I think we do need to see the Democratic memo. I think we need to see it all at this point. FISA warrants, applications, everything.
Yeah, otherwise we'll have conspiracy theories for the next 25 years over, you know, how, you know, the evil deep state took down Trump.
Right. And it should not be heavily redacted. I mean, there might be some things that need to be redacted, but, you know, this the hiding behind the banner of national security, it has its limits, and I think we've reached it. We need to know what's going on.
No, I tend to agree. I mean, right now, on the one hand, Trump could be claiming executive privilege about this, that, and the other.
Right.
The Department of Justice could be saying national security. Well, you know, if both positions, you know, win out, then we never learn anything, and right. That can't be healthy.
Nope, it can't be. Well, hey, Brian, thanks for the conversation.
We probably went a little longer than you'd like.
But... Oh, that's all right. No, this is good. And we'll obviously be tracking this information. Hey, until next time, my friends, you know, thanks for listening, first of all. And if you haven't, if you're listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, you know, please check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com. And until next time, my friends, take care. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Brian.
See ya.
All right. Bye.